Take your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 12 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. This is a famous, well-known passage, but we're going to lift one thought out of it tonight. Let's read responsively. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, this time of the year, even the world plays songs, and sometimes they're not done right, but at least they mention your name. Lord, the world will have parties, and the world will do things, and they won't honor you, but it's in honor of you that we celebrate this season. Now, Holy Spirit of God, would you please focus our minds, focus our attentions on the Word of God. May we be filled with your power to hear, to listen, and to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We know this as something called the Sermon on the Mount. How many times in life we've heard that Jesus, this is his first sermon that he preached to a multitude, but I want you to notice something. Jesus did not preach this sermon to a multitude. The Bible says in verse number 1, And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. He was not preaching a sermon. He was teaching his staff. He was teaching the disciples. This is not the Sermon on the Mount. This was an upper level graduate course study and how to live. Boy, what a powerful impact. Now, I know I just blew everybody's theology away, and y'all are going, forget that point, that's not the main sermon. But there are teams of people who are trained professionally to defuse bombs. Since the early 1900s in America, we have trained people to not just detonate, but defuse bombs, take them apart so they don't explode and kill people. It originally started in the early 1900s because the mafia was going from business to business, making people pay money to for them to protect them. And if not, they killed them. Boy, that's a lot of protection, isn't it? They would set bombs and things. So we started training people to find these bombs and defuse them so that less and less people were hurt. Well, with the onset of World War I, World War II, and different things, the nature of bombing increased and changed. And even in our military to this day, we still train people at high levels to defuse bombs. It's not an easy job. I don't know about you, but that's not a job I'd want to do, because one mistake and you're in trouble. It's not one of those jobs that it's for the faint of heart. You have to realize that many people's lives, including your own, is on the line with that job. Now, listen to this statement. You have to be able to handle a lot of pressure to do that job. That's not a job that if you freak out real fast, is that a bad terminology? I don't know, but if you panic real easy, do us a favor, don't go into that line of work. That's not a job where if you if you don't think real fast, that's not a job for you. You've got to be able to outthink the maker of the bomb to be able to defuse the bomb. Now, think of it this way. While people around you are panicking, running, and screaming, and out of control, you have to walk up to something that could explode, kill you, kill everybody around, and outthink the person that put it there. That's the kind of job that it is. These are people who cannot let everything going on around them affect what they do. Did you hear that statement? They can't allow everything going on around them to affect their job. These are people who have to put up with people out of control around them while they stay in control. These are people who must take control of their own emotion and the people around them in volatile situations so that they can keep everybody safe. Now, listen with your mind for a moment. These people cannot react as others do. They must focus and fix the problem. Did you hear that? They cannot react like others react. They must focus and fix the problem. Now, the holidays are upon us. Seems like family, friends, co-workers all over this country will get together, and they do, but many of them will end up in arguments. Many will end up in people shouting and hollering at one another and hurt feelings and people getting mad. And I'm convinced of one thing. You never have to argue. Did you hear that? Do you realize you never have to argue? I'm not a person that likes to argue. Matter of fact, I don't do it much anymore. Say why? It's a waste of time. It really is. I've been married for 24 and a half years. I'll promise you, in 24 and a half years of marriage, my wife and I have never argued. Never raised my voice to her, nor she to me. I learned a long time ago just to say, yes, ma'am, you don't have to argue, amen. No, Brother Hawkins taught me that, all right? So I just thought I'd learn. Now, took me less time to learn it than you, though. Look at her head. Now, I'm convinced you don't have to argue. When I go soul winning, I do not argue with people. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I was a teenager, man, I loved it. The Jehovah's false witness, I'm sorry, the Jehovah's Witnesses would come by, and my dad would say, go get them, boy. Man, I'd stand out there for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, turn their tail inside out, you name it, I had it. I think they put X's on our sidewalk and it said, don't come here, all right? I used to love tearing those people. I mean, they would park their car in front of my house. My dad would say, they're parking the car out there, go get them, son. I'd keep them so busy outside, they never got their materials unloaded from their trunk, amen? It was great. Now, I used to enjoy it. You know what? I found out I could have spent all that time telling somebody else about Jesus, getting them saved, instead of arguing with some infidel who's an idiot. I don't argue anymore. I really don't. It's not worth it. You say, well, what do you do if? Either they're going to accept the truth, or Jesus said, shake off the dust off your feet and go find somebody to listen. Man, there's somebody out there that wants to hear it. Why argue with somebody that doesn't want to hear it? You see, in all of these situations that you'll be in over the next 7 to 10 days, realize someone needs to be a diffuser. Some of you know Christmas Day, you're going to be with family members, and you're already dreading it because you know there's going to be an argument. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I had family too, just so you know. I have extended family. And I remember before we'd go to Christmas or New Year's or whatever holiday it was to get everybody together thinking old uncle or aunt so-and-so is going to be fussing and feuding with somebody. And you could just about set your watch to it. You knew about what time they were going to come unscrewed. And you knew as soon as the topic came up, it was time to go somewhere else. You say, why? Because you knew it was going to start. And then you knew that there was somebody there that would just push the button to make sure it started. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Matter of fact, usually before you got there, they were pushing the button to hoping that it was going to explode before you got there. Now, wait a minute. Someone in every conversation must decide to defuse instead of igniting the fuse. Too many people like to watch an explosion. Too many people like to watch the fire. But may I tell you something? After the fire is over, you got to clean up the mess. After the explosion, you got to pick up the pieces of the bodies that were hurt by it. And it loses its fun. You need to learn how to defuse the bomb, not ignite it. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Did you catch that? Blessed are those that can make peace. Now listen to this statement. Everybody think about this for a moment. Peacemakers aren't needed when there's no battle, because everything's already at peace. When there's no confrontation, peace is not needed. So a peacemaker is only needed when there is confrontation. Peacemakers are only needed when there's opposition. And God said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Wow. Jesus said, "The children of God are those that try to keep everything from exploding." Let me ask you a question. Will you act like God wants his children to act? Or will you be the person that lights the fuse in the next couple days? I know, I just went from preaching to meddling, didn't I? Will the bombs of arguments explode this year around you? Or will you defuse them? Are you going to push the button and detonate? Or are you going to be the guy while everybody else is freaking out that's able to work his way in and defuse it and keep it from exploding? Can I tell you something? Any jerk can make a bomb and watch it explode. It takes somebody with some courage, some character, some training to be able to keep that thing from exploding. How'd you like to run into a building, pick up a package full of explosives, try to keep it from exploding? You say, those people are weird. That's the way you look at people that don't argue. Everybody doing okay? Getting real quiet in here. Let me ask you a question. Will you explode because you allow your fuse to be lit? We went from talking to everybody else's fuse to talking about yours. Now, wait a minute. Well, I just have a short fuse. Your fuse is no shorter than anybody else's. And I hate to tell you something, sweetheart, but short fuses can be defused as well as long fuses. Okay, point number one. All of us will have opportunities arise where we could cause or express conflict. Do you realize that everybody in the world has areas of conflict? You say, boy, I wished I could live your life, Brother Bush. Everything around you is peaceful. Follow me around for 7 days. Matter of fact, follow me around for 1 day. Not everything is all peaceful. I'm going to make a statement here. Do you know you don't have to express your opinion if it's opposite of somebody else's? Okay. There are family members that I have, that I know, before I even talk about anything, they and I disagree. So guess what? I don't give my opinion about whatever they're talking about. Say, but what if they're wrong? I'm not going to argue and light the fuse. I don't have to agree with it. I just don't have to comment about it. By the way, why do you want to light your own fuse? In the fact that you're defending your own opinion, guess what? You just lit your own fuse. Man, do I feel like I'm all alone up here. Do you know, I choose not to talk about things that I differ with people on usually. I have met people in politics. I used to take some groups to D.C. from schools and different things. I've sat down with politicians and talked to them. You know what? I don't agree with all those rascals. Most of the time, I don't talk about areas I disagree with. I really don't. Now, I don't, by the way, I don't spend a lot of time doing it. I got a whole lot more important things to talk about than stupid politics. But you know, I have friends with whom I disagree, but they're still my friends. Oh, several years ago, I had a friend of mine. He had sent out a letter to a lot of folks. And in that, he stated a position that not even in my opinion, but scripturally, was a wrong position. I very kindly picked up the phone. I called him and I said, "Doc, I love you. You're my friend. Do me a favor. You know I don't agree with you in this. Don't you send me stuff about it. And let's agree not to talk about it." I said, "Our friendship's more important to me than your opinion about wrong doctrine." He didn't send me any more letters. He hadn't called me again either. Say why? Well, if he can't talk about things which we agree, guess what? I'm not going to talk to him about things I disagree. I refuse to. If I saw him, I'd walk up, shake his hand, tell him I love him. I'd see how his family's doing. I'd be kind. I'd be friendly. If he wants to go back into that area, I'm going to say, "Hold it. I'm not going to talk about it. Don't go there." I'll turn around and walk away. You say, "You'd be rude." It's more rude to stand there and argue. Do you know, I don't preach around in a lot of churches. I've preached around. I think I've preached in 26 different states. But when I go somewhere, I might not even agree with everything the pastor is doing. Did you hear that? There's sometimes I don't agree with everything I'm doing. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. But wait a minute. I'm not going to express my opinion in somebody else's pulpit about what I disagree with. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I stayed in a family member's home one time. They did not believe exactly the way my family believes in many areas. I told my children if a certain situation occurred, how to handle themselves. It occurred. I was not there. I was with a different part of that same family. And a phone call came to that person I was with. And that person looked at me and said, "How come your kids can't?" I said, "Just 'cause." I said, "It's not a big deal." Oh, was that an argument? "You think you're better than us?" "No." I said, "But I'm staying in your home for about 2 days. And why should I ask you to live by the way I live? That's your home, not my home." I said, "I have no right to go into your home and tell you and your family how to live." I said, "And I won't do it. But you're not going to make me live the way you live either." I said, "How about we agree to disagree, but it's all okay." You know, it took 6 months before they forgave me for that. Now, I wasn't bothered by it. They were. Didn't bother me a bit. Y'all doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Guess what? When I see or talk to that part of the family, we don't talk about those things. Amen. Say why? Why have conflict over it again? Listen to this statement very carefully. There are people I don't spend time with because every time I'm with them, I have to fight. You know, I don't spend time with evil people, people that destroy others, gossips, people that tear down people. Say why? I'm not going to put myself in a position where I have to defend somebody. And I know if they're going to tear somebody else down, guess what? When I'm not there, they're tearing me down. So let them tear me down. Why should I spend time with them, listen to them tear somebody else down? Well, you could defend them and you could tell them what the truth is. They don't want to know what the truth is. My Bible says evil people and fools don't want the truth. They'll tell you they're searching for the truth as they destroy you trying to get the truth. They've heard the truth. They know the truth. Don't let their stupidity and their simplicity, what appears to be simplicity, fool you. Look ahead to see potential conflict. You know, a wise person looks ahead to see conflict. You know, there are certain topics you'll sit down with your family this week, and you know that Aunt Josephine's going to get mad if you talk about something. Then why talk about it? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yes. You know that Uncle Wilbur's going to get mad if you talk about deer hunting. So don't talk about deer hunting, because Uncle Wilbur likes sitting on the back porch spitting and whittling and have the deer eat out of his hand. He gets mad when somebody kills one of them deer. Well, quit talking about the buck you just shot. It's that easy. You got to be wise enough to learn not to talk about those topics. Boy, that's good stuff. Now, hang on here. By the way, that's why people say religion and politics should be off limits, because there's so much disagreement. Do you know that you're going to sit down with family members that don't agree with how you raise your children? Then why sit there and argue about it? You're going to have siblings that are rearing their kids differently than you're rearing your kids, and there could be a lot of friction there. Believe me. And that doesn't mean you have lost siblings either. It could just be you're different. Or they're different. However you want to look at it. Oh, my soul. Standards. Do you know that you and most of your family won't have the same standards? Then why talk about it? Ladies, when your family says, how come you wear dresses all the time? Don't you ever not wear a dress? Boy, they're brainwashing you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Not that you've ever been there before. You know, is all you've got to do is kindly say, you know what? This is just the way we've chosen to live by the Bible, and we're okay with it. We're not going to criticize you, but this is the way we've chosen to live. You know, that takes the fight right out of people. It really does. Boy, that's good stuff. Yes, you know, we all have areas we'll disagree. I'll promise you, without a doubt, I don't know what it is. But if Brother Smith and I worked hard enough, there's probably an area he and I could find we disagree about. Brother Smith, have we ever disagreed about anything major? It might be that he doesn't, I know one area. He likes his meat
cooked.
Yeah. He likes it. He likes medium well meat. I can cut a hunk of my boot off, and that's about the same as medium well meat. Now, his wife, and I agree, knock it in the horns, cut it off, run a match under it, and put it on the plate. Amen? It needs to just quit quivering before you put the fork in it. Okay? I don't even mind it just a little cold in the middle still. Okay? It doesn't have to be even warm all the way through. Just bring it up to body temperature, and that's about good enough. Amen? Now, wait a minute. He and I disagree with how to cook the meat. Should we sit there and argue over it? No. I'm not going to eat his. He's not going to eat mine. We're both happy. Now, wait a minute. Yeah, you get your meat cooked rare. Most people aren't going to bother you and want your meat. Amen? Yeah, buddy, I learned how to get all the meat I want. Just don't cook it the whole way. Now, wait a minute. Do you know that I'll promise you, Mrs. Barnes works for me. I'll promise you there's times she doesn't agree with me. And there's times I don't agree with her. Guess what? In those areas, we don't talk about it. We really don't. Almost a solid year she's worked for me. We haven't had one argument. Hard to believe, isn't it? Now, Brother Barnes hasn't done that well yet, but he's working on it. I'm teasing. You know, you can politely agree to disagree and avoid topics. There are people in here, you don't always agree with me. No. There's a person in here. They disagreed with me in an area. And you know what we agreed to agree about? That we would disagree? Politely, kindly. And guess what? We get along great. You'd never know who it is. It's not my wife either. You got to realize, you can look at somebody and say, you know what? It's okay. And mine's okay. Neither of us are sinning by doing what we're doing. We might draw a line in a different area, but guess what? We can still get along. You know, there are some people that came out of heavy drinking, alcohol, and that type of thing, and they don't want to ever walk into a restaurant that serves any alcohol. And by the way, I don't think you ought to walk into a bar ever, no matter what, unless you've got your Bible in your hand, you go and preach. And even then, I think you need to use a little bit of sense. But may I say this? Alcohol's never been a draw for me. I smelled that stuff. Why would you want to drink anything that's rotten? It just doesn't make sense. I've seen drunk people. They're stupid. Why would I ever want to do that? And most of that stuff, I don't know how you get it down your throat anyway. And there's something about being an alcoholic that doesn't make sense. Why would you drink something that makes you throw up? That is the last thing in the world this man ever wants to do is throw up. I mean, I'm one of those people that holds it to the last possible second.
Yes, sir.
Lay on the bed going, feel it right there. Feel it just, and swallow again. Get it down there. I know there's some of you say, no, just let it fly and you'll feel better. I have never felt better doing that. Trust me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Never does that feel better. I just fight it. Now, some of you, you know, you throw up every other day and you're not even pregnant. You know, there are just some things that I agree to disagree with people on. Okay, number two, most opinions don't need expressed. Listen very carefully here. Most opinions don't need expressed. We okay? Need some water?
Fix it. Got one right there.
Everybody look this way. She's okay. Just hadn't had enough water yet. Look this way. Just because you're thinking something doesn't mean everybody needs to know what you're thinking. There are some people that think whatever's going through between their ears needs to come out their mouth.
Yep.
Everybody look at me for just a second here. I'm going to teach you something I taught those three little chitlins right there. That aren't so little anymore. Okay? Matter of fact, one of them bigger than me. I used to teach them, God gave you two eyes, two ears, and one mouth. He wants you to watch and listen twice as much as he wants you to talk. Most of you run your mouth twice as much as you watch or listen. I know I shouldn't have said it that way. Let me ask you a question. Will your opinion change anything? Most of the time when we express our opinion, it doesn't change anything. In my book, my wife got almost upset with me because I put it in there and put it in print. I said, opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one, and you pick which one you want. And that's true. Can I tell you something? I don't form opinions about areas that are not mine to form an opinion about. Everybody watch this way. If we need help, Brother Mark is back there, just so you know, ladies, and he's there to help you. Miss Leslie, you might want to make sure that Brother Mark doesn't need help. No, I'm teasing. Now, listen very carefully. Thank you, Mrs. Smith. There are times that if we're not careful, we could express opinions in areas it's not ours to express.
Right.
Brother Gus, you have your own business. You run an electrical business. Do you know what? I have not spent 2 seconds, promise you, thinking about your business and how you should run it.
Amen.
Say why? It's not mine. Why should I spend time thinking about something that I have no area of authority about? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, if Brother Colin came to me and said, Brother Bush, and a couple times he's asked me some questions about it. He said, well, what do you think about? At that moment, I think about it. I give him the best advice I can give him. And guess what? I couldn't tell you what any of those questions are because I don't think about it again. It's not mine to worry about. That's his. If he has another question, he'll come ask me. I don't think about it. Brother Jeremiah's got his own business. Guess what? I don't tell him how to run his business. I really don't. I don't sit there and say, you know, Doc, I think you ought to. It's none of my business. Y'all doing okay? Okay, listen to me very carefully here. Even if I did, my opinion doesn't matter. It's not my business. Why should I formulate an opinion about it? Some of you form opinions about things you can't do anything about. I think the problem is we don't stay busy enough doing what we're supposed to do that we've got so much time to think about what everybody else is doing. You know, many employees get upset at work because they think about what the employer is supposed to be doing and they don't do what they're supposed to do. It's amazing, and don't get mad at me if this is your job. But it's amazing to me how many entry-level people know how to run a multi-billion dollar corporation. Somebody that puts boxes on shelves or takes boxes off a shelf knows exactly how to run that whole business. They've never made more than $12 an hour, but they know how to run that business. They've got an opinion, and boy, their opinion matters, and they're going to do whatever it takes to express their opinion. Go blow your nose somewhere else. America is full of this attitude. That's why we've got people demanding, in our government, demanding that we raise the minimum wage. Oh, you evil employers that make too much money. I never saw a poor person feed anybody. Never saw a poor person employ anybody. Everybody doing okay? Now, we're going to switch from an area that you like to an area you don't like. Husbands need to be careful not to say things unwisely to their wives and express their opinion about what their wife is doing that's their wife's responsibility. Ouch. You think you know so much, you stay home and do it. Can I tell you something? You don't see all she does. Let her leave for a week and you stay home with all those kids. You change all those diapers. You cook all the food. You clean all the clothes. And then you let her come home and complain about the fact that you don't have the house cleaned up like she thinks it should be. Then let one of those puppies puke all over you and you got to clean yourself up, it up, and everything on the floor. And then whatever you threw up on because they threw up on you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But we're so quick to say, hey, I could fix that. I do it this way, this way, this way, this way, okay? Solved. Done. Just do it that way. Guess what? It doesn't work that way. Say, what if I was doing it? Hey, that's what you think. It only works that way because they have to. You live with it all day long, it is going to change real fast. Boy, that's good stuff. Can I tell you something? Some of you would get along better if you'd wait till she asks for your opinion. And I'm going to make a statement here, and don't get mad at me. If somebody asks for your opinion, don't force them to live by it. Okay, let me use Brother Gus again. If he came to me and said, Brother Bush, got this area of my business I need your help with. You got an opinion on it, and I give an opinion. Guess what? If he doesn't use my opinion, I shouldn't get upset with him. I really try not to force my way on anything. If Brother Jeremiah is going to do something and said, Brother Bush, what do you think? And I've talked to both of these men. I'd say, it's my opinion, but you know what, Doc? If you know a whole lot more about it than I do, and if this doesn't work, it's fine. I'm not trying to push my way in. There's times my wife will say, honey, what do you think? What do you think? Sometimes she'll give me an opinion. Sometimes she won't. I'll say, I think she'll say, no. I tried that. Okay. Guess what? Didn't work, did it? Guess my opinion wasn't any better than yours. Let's see if we can figure it out. I don't get mad if she doesn't do it. Everybody doing okay? Boy, I just taught you how to solve a whole lot of peacemaking, amen?
Yes, sir.
By the way, peacemaking's a whole lot better than making war. Boy, that's good stuff. Number three, and I'll finish quickly here. Jesus said, those that diffuse are blessed. Now, I am so nauseous over, have a blessed day. I think the next time I hear that, I'm going to barf on somebody just for fun. Ugh, drives me nuts. Do you know what the word blessed means? That word means to jump up and down with joy. When you go to the store and that sweet little Pentecostal says, have a blessed day, just go, all right, I will! And watch them go nuts. They don't even know what the word means. Y'all doing okay? You'll probably leave the cash register open for you. Blessings abound. I'll tithe. No. The word blessed means to jump up and down with joy. Y'all weren't ready for that, were you? That was great. Those who diffuse conflict will be extra happy that there are no explosions. I'm going to tell on my secretary. It took us about 9 months. When we bought these chairs, we ended up having to pay tax in Maryland because they wouldn't take our tax ID. It took us 4 months to get a tax ID paper from the People's Republic of Maryland. I mean, the state of Maryland. 4 months. Should take about 4 days. Took 4 months. Then we did everything they said. We were trying to get $343.72 back. I don't know what the cents were, but it's pretty close to that. Just because of the tax. 5 more months. She had written letters. And I said, why don't we document it? So she documented every phone call, every letter, every person she talked to, every letter that was sent, all of the stuff we sent. And after about 5 more months, I said, that's it. Find out the comptroller's name direct, and let's put a phone call into that person direct. None of the minions, none of the twerps underneath. I mean, the head honcho. She sent a letter to this guy on Tuesday. On Wednesday afternoon, I came back for church Wednesday night, and there was a message on the church phone. It was from the assistant comptroller of the state of Maryland. Okay, we just sent it Tuesday morning. By Wednesday afternoon, they called us, and the guy didn't, you could tell he was a no-frills kind of person. He said, I'm calling for Christine Barnes. We got your letter. We're calling. Can you call our office as soon as you can on Thursday? We would like to expedite this process, and the situation has been resolved. We just need to know how to finish it off. I thought, wow. She called on Thursday morning. Do you know that in less than 3 or 4 days, we had the check in hand? It was an interesting phone call. 10 minutes, and I bet you she didn't talk for 30 seconds. She listened for 9.5 minutes. It wasn't a conversation to ask us questions, but I promise you there's a whole lot of people that were upset. Now, wait a minute. We finally defused the bomb. Let me show you what I mean. After we got the check in hand, I waited till we had the money, amen? I said, you know, we documented everything we did to get to this point. I think we ought to send a thank you letter to the person that helped us. So we did. Can I tell you something? That's a fun way to live. We diffused it. We didn't get angry. We didn't tell people off. We didn't cuss anybody. Well, I didn't. I reviewed her letter so that we took those words out. We did all that. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? It's a peaceful way to live. You know, in World War II, Japan was not willing to deal in peace. And Hiroshima and Nagasaki were leveled, and over 200,000 people died with two explosions because you had an evil leader that was not willing to defuse. Defusing bad situations makes more people happy and have a better time. Can I tell you something? Choose your battles wisely. Let me ask you a question. Is that thing you're going to argue about on Wednesday with your family worth arguing about? Is the fact that you live like a Christian and they don't worth fighting over and getting them angry and you getting angry? Give me about 2.5 minutes and I'm done. On August 6, 1945, after over 6 years of war, death, destruction, and chaos in the world, Japan still refused to surrender. The United States, under the leadership of Harry Truman, gave the order to drop the first nuclear or atomic bomb on Japan. A 3.5-foot by 10-foot long bomb weighing 4,000 pounds, roughly, you could have put about 2 or 3 of those bombs on this platform. Wasn't as large as you think it was. 3.5-foot wide, 10-foot long. That's about from there to here, not quite as deep as this platform. Weighed 4,000 pounds, weighed more than a pickup truck. Had 1,400 pounds of enriched uranium in it. It took off and got over its target in Hiroshima, or Hiroshima, however, either way is appropriate. The bomb bay opened, and that bomb was released. It fell for 42 seconds. Fell 30,000 feet in 42 seconds. Because of barometric pressures and timers on that bomb was to explode 1,932 feet above the Earth's surface. It was set to go off with 4 charges of gunpowder that were electronically ignited. They ignited and shot a uranium ball down a tube, hit that 1,400 pounds of enriched uranium, unleashing the greatest explosion to that time in history. The blast sent 4,000 degree temperatures over an area of 4 miles wide. Ceiling temperature on a house fire is about 2,200 degrees. Imagine twice the intensity of a house fire. There was between 30 and 40,000 people that within a nanosecond were instantly vaporized and were turned to carbon immediately. The flash from the explosion was so bright, listen to this, people's shadows were imprinted onto the concrete and steel, and their bodies were gone. Fence railings and fences, the flash was so great that the shadows were imprinted in the concrete and the buildings that they were up near, that were left. The flash was so bright that at a distance of 5 miles, a boy who was standing in a window had his hands over his face playing hide and seek that morning at 8:15 when it went off. He could see the bones through his hands like an x-ray from the flash of the bomb. Percent of all the buildings in the entire city, a city of over 250,000 people, were gone, leveled. The shockwave knocked down most of the buildings, traveling at over 750 miles an hour. At a distance of 12 miles, it was throwing people from one end of their house to the other as the shockwave hit, knocking homes down as far away as 12 miles away. The intensity of the heat and the mushroom cloud as it went up, this is what you don't realize. The heat from that, as that cloud went up, as the shock wave went out, the heat was pulling all the oxygen with it and sucked all the oxygen right up with that mushroom cloud at a distance of 12 miles high. Those that did live through the initial blast, many of them suffocated because there was no oxygen left after the heat took it out. Over 100,000 people died that first day. As many as another 50 to 60,000 died from burns and radiation poisoning thereafter. Harry Truman called and said, "Surrender." They said, "We won't do it." By the way, from July, for 6 weeks, we flew leaflets all over every possible city that we would do this in, telling the people that it was coming, and told innocent people to leave. For 2 days, Harry Truman said, "Give up, give up. We've got another one." August 9th. We dropped the second one on a place called Nagasaki. Same thing took place. Two bombs, over 200,000 people died. Harry Truman called Japan and said, "Now I'm sending two to Tokyo. Tokyo will be gone by this time tomorrow if you do not surrender unconditionally." He said, "I give." Wonder how many people would not have had to go through that tragedy had one person decided to be a bomb diffuser. And I'm not talking about Harry Truman either. He did the right thing. He did the right thing. But I wonder how many people could have been spared had somebody said, "I'm just not going to argue anymore." Let me ask you a question. What destruction and argument will you avoid in the next 10 days? Or what argument will you start? Hey, boys and girls, you don't have to fight with each other. Be a bomb diffuser. Hey, moms and dads, you don't have to fight with each other. You don't have to fight over the rearing of the kids. Be a bomb diffuser. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Say, "I don't agree with you." It's fine, you don't have to. But many of you are going to be in intense battle soon, and you don't have to be. You don't have to be.